Last time we talked about the orator as a revolutionary type, indeed a revolutionary necessity. The written word, too, is important in the course of revolutions, essential for spreading them, and the agitator who writes rather than orates is a common type. Such surely was Tom Paine, who was a very poor speaker indeed, but a masterly pamphleteer. His Common Sense, published in January 1776, seems to me one of those works that actually push on events. Here, for instance, is the English edition of this book. Came out first in 1776. This is 1791 in England, and was meant to promote an English Republican revolution. It has a second section which is very bitter on monarchies in general. You may notice on this page, I don't know whether you can see it, there is a blank space there, not regularly provided for in the paragraph. And there apparently was some sort of crack against the English monarchy. And of course the English publisher, by leaving a blank, made the crack even more important, if I do say so. But here's an even more interesting echo of that famous pamphlet. You will see from this title page, it's a Spanish translation of Common Sense, published in Lima, Peru, in the very year of the Peruvian Declaration of Independence, 1821. And the interesting thing is that somebody has slit the pages, possibly an indignant Tory and a feeling anger, possibly a customs official in some other Spanish-American republic. Anyway, we can't tell. We have this present copy, which is a bit of history in itself. Now, I don't, of course, say that our American Declaration of Independence in July 76 would have been impossible without this great bestseller advocating such action as mere common sense. But I do say that the pamphlet helped incalculably to put the Declaration over with many, many Americans, to get it accepted. Paine makes a good transition to my next type, the eternal protester, the man against the government. Paine was a self-taught 18th century enlightened rationalist, and he loved to attack the respectable, the conventional, the churchgoers. Indeed, he prided himself on his unconventionality and loved, as I say, to bait the good Christians, the conventional people. And this has lasted so much so that the first Roosevelt, Theodore, referred to him in one of his books as that filthy little atheist. He wasn't an atheist, he was a deist. But he was certainly anti-Christian. Jefferson found him interesting, but even Jefferson found him trying and most embarrassing. Paine simply couldn't get on with ordinary people, a fatal handicap for a politician in ordinary times.